This podcast is brought to you by TunnelBear.com. TunnelBear. Simple, private, free access to the global internet you love. Now onto the show.
Okay, so yeah, you know, have a seat. First of all, welcome back to Ghostland Studios, Max. What else am I missing here? Don't worry, Uwe Boll will still be owner and operator. You know, he's still owner, okay? It's just... Elite Four Avengers Media is gone. It's been bought out. Uwe Boll, our owner, sold it to Skeletons on the Moon Production. Okay, so they're our production company now. So we're gonna be kind of helping out, you know, paying for Twitter maintenance costs, YouTube upload fees, stuff like that, and collecting money to help pay for that.
Which is just Twitter maintenance cost.
Okay, it's all in the paperwork. I know people are confused because I know Tim got on the Twitch chat during one of the streams recently.
I heard about that.
He was trying to get us to plug his ebook, and there's all that controversy going on about that. Jasper water rights. But I just want to, you know, calm everybody down, everybody dealt with it. Insomnia Falls Podcast is safe and under control of our owner, Uwe Boll. Uwe Boll is still owner of Elite Four Avengers Media, which is now owned by Skeletons on the Moon Production. So let me try and make a flowchart for you guys, okay? So it goes, in terms of leadership, goes the stream, which now the stream and the podcast, which are now produced by Skeletons on the Moon Productions, okay? And Uwe Boll is the link in the chain. Boll KG is his company is the link in the chain between us and Skeletons on the Moon Productions. So you know he kind of goes to bat for us. You know he really kind of deals in there, and really you know make sure that we're taken care of.
So,
did you see that new card, guys? It's pretty nice, right?
Yeah. So everything on the home front here is going to be going just as it did, just with new Skeletons on the Moon logo instead of Elite Four Avengers.
Yes.
Alright.
The stream, the League's team, the Heroes of the Storm stuff, that's still Elite Four Avengers. Okay, you're still going to see all that stuff, but the production company, the business side, that's Skeletons on the Moon Productions, and that is ran by Uwe Boll, owner and operator of Boll KG.
Alright,
so we're all clear here? I mean, we got this high-tech technology set up right here.
Yeah, we do.
Greetings, all Insomniacs! Welcome to the Insomnia Files Podcast, broadcasting for the abandoned Ghostman Studios.
It's good to be back.
This is our weekly cult cinema podcast. We watch cult, sci-fi, obscure, and just plain weird movies. I'm your host, Justin Stowers, at TheLastIronBreakerOnTheTrip.com. Here's my special guest co-host,
Max Windorf, at Rarity Shepherd.
And you are wearing what I can only assume is a very special t-shirt. So, why don't you describe that for us?
Why the t-shirt? It's just a normal... There's nothing special about it, man.
Okay, so, you're not only wearing a t-shirt. Sort of below the collar, you're wearing a small 1-inch... radius metal pin that says I heart atheism.
No, actually it says I am an atheist.
Right. So why don't you describe this t-shirt for those playing at home?
The t-shirt, it's a parody of the Sons of Anarchy, and it says Sons of Mordor, Middle Earth.
T-A. What's the T-A there?
I haven't actually figured that one out myself.
Okay, and what does it say on the front?
Blackland Original.
So you are a son of Mordor. So Middle Earth is, you know, now part of, you know, the United Kingdom is like Scotland, Middle Earth, Narnia. Am I missing any of the countries in there?
Probably. There's hundreds.
Okay, so you know, you got Mordor, Middle Earth, Narnia. That makes up your United Kingdom. Okay, so it's kind of like a British football thing, you know, like, you know, go Manchester.
Actually, no, it's a reference to the Lord of the Rings novels.
Okay.
You haven't read them, have you?
No.
I watched the movies, they're not that great.
Hey, you're not allowed to say that. Well, Uwe Boll is glaring at us right now.
Sorry.
Through the two-way mirror. Yes, that one. Okay, so, first of all, we want to apologize for not being here last week. We had a bit of a scheduling conflict that had to do with the Elite Four Avengers Media being bought out, so, you know, there was lots of paperwork, money being traded hands, lots of stuff being moved around. So a real chaotic time for us down here. So we got all that sorted out, so we're back to our weekly schedule. And so I'm proud to announce that right now we're beginning season 3 of the Insomnia Files podcast. So right now I want you to listen to this.
Strap in your seatbelt for the Insomnia.
So I thought it was going to be one of the older movies, but it was actually released last year. Why is it that this movie should have gotten more noise than it did. It's a good movie. Why did it stay under the radar?
Oh, it's a great movie. I mean, movies nowadays, you don't see original IPs like that. I mean, this is based on, a graphic novel, a manga.
I'm just going to let that slide, otherwise we're not going anywhere.
Did I pronounce it wrong?
Continue. So okay, it's based on a graphic novel from Japan.
It's pronounced mango, like a fruit. Okay, dumbass. Mango, manga, makes sense.
I'm not even gonna... No, we're not touching this.
Okay, you're right. Sometimes, religion, that's a trick around that. The fact that the correct pronunciation of manga is manga.
Okay, you're using an English pronunciation of words based on an English word spelled entirely different. We're not going into this.
I'm sorry, are mangoes the fruit? Okay, back to the movie, since I'm right about this. Back to the movie.
Whatever, I'll let you win this one.
Our hero, our protagonist, Officer Cage. What is his first name?
They just call him Cage, or I'm sure it's mentioned, but I can't remember it.
Okay, so Captain Cage here is a PR officer, and his job is to sell the war to the media outlets and the general public. He's a U.S. Army officer, despite the fact that he's wearing a picture of Marine Corps and U.S. Army insignia, which is something that's just... The uniforms in this movie are just all wrong. It drives me fucking batty. You see people, it's like you got PT, you'll have like some people with their cover on, cover off, just mixtures. This one guy wearing like a Hawaiian shirt, this one guy wearing like nothing. The soldiers in this movie have, like, no military discipline. It is, like, boggling my mind, driving me fucking batty. What are your thoughts on that, Max?
I didn't notice all the uniform issues, like the medals and stuff, but you were in the military, so you're more keen on that. But they really do lack the discipline.
You got people gambling, eating cards, wearing diapers.
Well, they were forced to eat the cards, and he wasn't actually wearing a diaper. There was nothing. He bare-balled that.
Bare-balled? I think the term was free-balling.
Whatever it is. He was butt-ass naked in a fucking suit of metal armor.
He was. Right now, Uba tells me we need to work on keeping it PG. He was balls-dick naked, was he not?
Very. Well, actually, he had a shirt on, but I guess Ball's dick just refers to the lower half.
Okay, so then we find out that in order to better sell the war, Captain Cage has been voluntold that he is going to the front lines tomorrow.
Yep, and to try to get out of it, he tries to blackmail a five-star general?
Yes.
By saying, I could ruin...
Four-star.
Four-star? He's just a four-star?
Yes.
By saying he could ruin him in the media because he's a PR expert. And the general agrees with him and starts walking him out, and then the second he leaves, he tells the MP, arrest that man. and we get a short chase scene, and then Cage just runs into a taser.
Yeah, and I have been tased. I've been tased by military police, and you know, getting tased, it's not fun, but it's kind of cool because like when the thing goes off, the pain just goes away. It's pretty great. So like, it hurts like hell, but like
it's gone immediately.
It just goes away once they turn it off. If they're doing it right, like they're not supposed to like if they hit you in the face, they can kill you. So they're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess some police officers nowadays would do that, but the EMPs wouldn't do that. I have been tased. I'm not gonna go into details on the incident, but I have been tased by military police, and it hurt a lot. Okay, so he wakes up with by the way, let me go into what's wrong with his uniform. Okay, so we got Sergeant Farrell here. Okay, where his U.S. Army patch would be, or U.S. Marine Corps, or Air Force, or Navy, it has his blood type. Okay.
Really?
Yes. A positive. And that's just. You would just put that somewhere else. That's
what the dog tags are for, right?
Yes, but you could also have just for, you know, faster stuff on the field, you would put that there. So, like, the medic's coming, you just, like, see at a glance and know what you are.
Yeah.
Okay. And. But that would have, like, where your designation, like, or what your branch is. That's where your branch badge is.
Like, I would say Army, Navy, etc.
Yeah.
Who actually does. Which branch is Farrell in?
As far as I can tell, well, they're in the UDF, which is a
United Defense Force.
Pretty much NATO. NATO on a larger scale, as far as I can tell.
Kind of more of a the whole world.
Yeah.
Instead of just a few
countries.
But
still, I mean, you would keep that service. You would keep your branch patch. Welcome back, Insomniacs. Okay, so. Now we are giving the lay of the land to J Squad here, and we see them, you know, eating the cards because gambling's bad. Let me tell you the issue with his argument on gambling. That they're playing poker, okay? Poker isn't a like game of fate. It's about like mind games and who can get the better hand. Like you can win with the worst. You can win with a bad hand.
Yeah.
So
if you're a good bluffer, you can win anything, but.
Really, it's a game of like bluffing, deception and misdirection. Not so much fate. So, although sometimes when I'm playing, I got an intense game of nine ball going. It really feels like fate is not on my hand with some of the shots it's trying to get him to make.
Yeah.
So then we have here an important plot device is that they're being geared up for war and a guy straps a claymore. Chest, which
comes in handy for Cage later.
Yes.
And also, no one's told Cage how to unlock his safeties. By the way, I suppose we should mention that when they're gearing up for war, they're gearing up in exoskeletons that are basically mobile weapon mounts.
Yeah.
And help enhance their strength.
Okay, so then we are introduced to the Emily Blunt character, the Angel of Versailles.
Name's Rita.
Rita, with her propeller blade melee weapon. This is like a warframe weapon, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, it's just a giant sword made out of a propeller blade from some aircraft. It's never specified what aircraft, but I assume it's one of the mini.
Okay, so she's walking outside. Just a little inside trivia for you guys playing at home. Like when she's walking out, one of the air traffic control people says, "That's the full metal bit," and as he says "bit," she just like throws him on the ground. That's her little brother, so as you can imagine on his head, she's essentially beating her little brother up all day.
That must have been fun for her.
France,
somewhere,
right?
Somewhere.
The beach of France, you know. A lot like when Captain America and the Invaders went to war against the Nazis. Can we talk about like? What a big bunch of losers the Nazis were.
Sure.
I mean, they lost both fronts of the war. And they had the advantage in, like, both cases. What losers, right?
They were actually losers because they didn't lose.
All their cool science stuff didn't help at all. Because
they never finished most of it.
Slave labor doesn't get you good results.
Okay,
back to the movie.
Jinx. They're about to reach the beach and about to drop out of their ship when it
something
explodes.
Something goes a little wrong.
Now, why are they all tethered to the ship after they eject?
Well, it's like a safety cord, but it's supposed to release immediately.
Oh, is it?
It's a release thing, yeah.
Is it so they just hit go and then they fall and that cord, like, pulls the parachute?
Yeah, the idea is that you do it when the ship isn't spinning out of control.
Ah.
When the aircraft. I don't want to get people hating on you. It's not a ship. You fucking idiot.
And immediately after Cage lands and he gets his bearings again, the balls naked guy, he sees him and he's celebrating like, we're alive, we're alive, and then boom, crushed by one of the aircraft.
You know, it's a lot like, you know, Mass Effect AC John. You gotta keep moving, you just stay in one spot, and it's gonna hold up and kill you.
I don't see any grenades, though, so...
Yeah, there's grenades every 5 seconds.
A lot of mortar fire, though.
Yeah, so it's like Red Reapers. You know, there's Ravagers taking all their aircraft. Okay, so then we see this is the scene where I'm gonna use for the cover art. I'm gonna switch my resolution to, like, 4K. Yeah, I'm gonna get, like, a super high screenshot or, like, Child of War. Okay, so then we see that, yeah, this Angel Rosas lady,
she...
Rita?
Rita.
Rita is, like, a badass mofo.
She cuts two of the... I guess they're aliens that we're fighting called Mimics.
With her melee weapon. Melee, wee-wee.
Apparently he's gone crazy. So she engages in melee combat with two of them, takes them out, and then is immediately hit in the back by one of the mortars, and killed. So, no one
and
lasts long in this.
It's becoming readily apparent that this surprise attack was not so much of a surprise.
Yeah. And Cage still can't fire his weapons because they are still locked with the safety.
Because his safety wasn't yet in these.
Yeah. So...
You know, I have a lot of that. I have that issue when you try to play like some obscure Japanese mantis dating sim, and like, I can't read this shit, it's just in Japanese, how do I know how to advance in this game? I'm just like pressing X, and oh, now I'm dead. It's time to start over.
I mean, you could always learn the language, or why do you want to date a mantis?
Look, there are some things that you just, games are supposed to be about escapism, okay? I never get to date a giant mantis in real life, so you know, why not try the dating sim?
Alright.
I know you and your honey pop, and you're giving me a look like, how dare you mention that? That was private, but...
No, actually, it wasn't private. I've played the game Honey Pop. I've beaten it to completion. So, what are you going to do?
Somebody ordered a Honey Pop body pillow through our Amazon link, and I'm guessing that was you.
No, actually, that one was not me, although I'm curious as to who they got.
It was the one that looks like a little girl.
So all of them? No. Probably
okay,
the blonde.
So then we find out that Cage dies because he uses a claymore to kill a alpha mimic up close.
The main difference is it's bigger and it's blue instead of orange, so...
And this gives him the alpha's ability to reset the date. So, just imagine if you can imagine this is a video game. When he wakes up, at the deployment area, that's when the said game is saved.
Yep.
And every time he dies, the game reloads that save.
So essentially, guys,
he remembers everything else. He remembers everything, but he's just going back to the same.
So essentially,
pretty meta stuff.
This movie is essentially just Groundhog's Day meets Starship Troopers. So get ready for that.
With a little bit of Gears of War in there.
Nah, there's no chainsaws.
Well, there is a melee weapon. Guys,
okay,
did you
so
know a sword is a melee weapon? Pretty nifty stuff, huh?
Why do you keep emphasizing the fact that it's a melee weapon? People know that a sword is a melee weapon.
I'm new to this video gamer stuff.
No, you're not.
And, I mean, this video gamer stuff is pretty fascinating.
This isn't a video game. This is real life to these characters. This is life or death with exception to everybody except for Cage.
Okay, hold on. In this scene where they're in the aircraft thing, and the guy with the fence on his face. Do you think his head bobbles too much? Like, it looks like it's CG, right?
I mean...
I'll show you. In the booth, can you guys roll the tape back a minute? A little bit further. Right there. Okay. Wait. Watch. His head, like, bobbles out of place.
Yeah, it does kind of, like, pop up there a bit at the end.
That's some George Lucas shit, where, George Lucas, he would, like, go in and, like, and some, oh, no. The whole hand, if you don't know about the hand job, I hate bringing up Star Wars. But, the hand job first thing is that, they added in footage that George Lucas edited it, and what he did was, is that he, like, photoshopped in Greedo holding a gun and firing at Han, and he digitally moved Han, like, an inch to the right. Like, you can imagine somebody just uncannily, like, shifting places to the left, and that's when Han shot. So, that's why George Lucas sucks ass. I mean, have you guys seen Red Tails? It is garbage.
I've never even heard of Red Tails.
It's a movie about black pilots, but it's, like, awful.
Yeah?
It's an insult. Like, did you know racism was bad, Max?
Yeah. Yeah, you still made me watch Coonskin.
That's really, like, the whole thing. Coonskin is better than Red Tails.
Coonskin is better than Red Tails.
Yes.
I'll have
okay,
to remember that.
Cage dies a few more times, and he tries to talk his way out of, by using his prior knowledge, and talk his way out of the situation with, why don't you speak on the scene, Max?
Are we, what, third, fourth, seventh? How many times have we jumped already?
Four.
I think this time he's trying to convince everybody, and they take him to J Squad to meet the team, and he's like, I know you, 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 and you. And he tells them shit that he shouldn't know. And, I think they just think he's crazy and just throw him into combat anyways. So, it doesn't do anything.
And, we smash cut to see that, the mission is continuing as planned. It's just he has duct tape over it. His mouth has been duct taped
shut.
And everybody's a little on edge, trying to wonder, like, wait, what is he trying to tell us?
And then he manages to, like, use his tongue to get the duct tape off of his mouth right before the ship explodes. And he yells, the ship is going to explode.
And then right on cue, the ship explodes.
Yeah. So, this is another failed time where he just dies.
Well, he gets out, but he makes a mistake of trying to save. This is a lot like some XCOM. It was like, well, you try and save this one guy, and that gets your guy. That's your guy killed.
Yeah. Now we kind of start a wibbly wobbly timey wimey bullshit montage, and he goes through and he tries to save each individual member of
and
the
squad.
And
one time he just got, like, nailed by a truck.
Yeah, he's just running along a truck. So he meets up after a couple of attempts, meets up with Rita, and just knows what's happening, so he's just pointing his guns behind him, just shooting where he needs to shoot. And she's like, what is going on with this guy? And he's like, come on, you need to get out of here, this place is gonna explode. And she's like, when you wake up, come find me. And then they get blown up, and he wakes up.
And she says, hey, when you wake up, go find me.
Yeah. So the ship explodes, he gets pushed back to the beginning. This time he's just like, whatever, and just goes along with everything.
And for those of you playing at home, we're not going to be keeping track of how many times it resets, because it's like, it's a lot.
It's a lot, and it's
implied. And there's resets you don't see.
Yeah, it's implied that he does it hundreds of times, if not more. So, good luck on that. If you want to keep track of it, tell us in the comments at the end of this, and we'll see if you're right.
And, we see now, we're seeing a different cage, a more battle-ready cage.
Yeah, he's getting used to being in combat a little bit, but dying a couple of times will do that.
And that's when we take to the scene where it's time to do PT. And another thing, okay, so look, you see some guys are like wearing like the full uniform, some guys are wearing the PT gear.
One guy's in a Hawaiian shirt.
He's just like, no, this is not how it would be done either. Either you're all wearing your head covered, or none of you are. And they'd either all be in their battle dress uniform gear, or none of them. They it all be under PT gear? You're all supposed to look the same.
Yeah. Anyway, there...
He tries to sneak away by rolling under a truck, and he gets himself ran over. And the sergeant's like, what the hell are you thinking? And we see, you know, a couple more resets, and he manages to do it right like the third time.
Yeah.
And he sneaks away.
I want to know how the driver of the truck did. He starts rolling well before the truck.
Well,
so,
you gotta think about the clearance of those things.
Okay. That explains how that guy hit him earlier on the battlefield.
It was weird to see that truck just like straight up in combat and not like any kind of tracked vehicle or crap or crap to carry or one of those things.
I'll let it slide because it was funny.
Yeah, it works in the context of the scene. And then we have this like crazy training area where it's like metal.
I think they're supposed to mimic the movements of, well, the mimics.
Yes. And Cage meets up with the Rita character and explains what's going on. And wants to speak on this thing next.
Okay, one, they're at a firing range. And she's just out in the middle of an active fire.
Well, it's a separate range from what you see at the start of that scene.
But all the things are still moving around.
Yeah.
Those things are moving fast enough and are heavy enough to easily kill someone.
Yeah.
Why is she allowed out there?
That's where she trains. And the training area.
But she's just doing, like, no-legged push-ups.
Well, she knows what she's doing.
That just seems like a hazard that the military wouldn't... Okay, so after the training...
She's not a fresh recruit. She's, like, the best soldier.
Accidents still happen!
Well, that's the chance she takes.
All I'm saying is you don't want your best soldier to die in training. You want them to not die, but preferably, if they do, killing enemies. Right?
Well, if they're killed by something that's, you know...
Didn't want them anyways.
Like, she... when you get in a position like that, you can call your shots. And plus, like, she wasn't, like...
Wait. A position like... What rank is she?
She's a sergeant, but... she has a lot of... She has a...
Because of the angel of...
Yeah, you were... Okay, so think about, like, losers like Jace, but if they're allowed that amount of anonymity, imagine how much she has.
She's probably treated like a literal angel.
Yeah, she's probably getting leeway to train however she wants.
Okay. So, he goes and interrupts her training and explains everything, and then they drive across the compound in what is clearly a CGI Jeep. Why didn't they just drive a Jeep?
Yeah, that was. Also, I think I thought was crazy, but there was an entire series of scenes involving Jericho Fibbit was added in post-production, and I think he may have been the driver and that was the whole scene of that, and I think his scenes were cut out, and that's like the last tidbit of that scene.
Okay, so they just cut it out.
This is a really long movie, so there was other stuff that was cut for time, so I mean, that's probably just, you know, reminiscent of that.
Yeah, after it was cut, it's still almost 2 hours long.
So. Yeah.
But she takes him to meet one of the mechanics of the compound.
Who used to be like a
top-tier scientist.
Research scientist of, like, you know, science team.
And you find out that Rita's formerly had this power, but has lost it. And they have
and
some...
And how do you lose the power, Max?
Apparently just blood transfusions.
Yes, if you lose the blood, just... of the Alpha, you lose your time travel powers.
Yeah. And they explain to him what's going on, that whenever he blew the Alpha up with the Claymore, he got the blood on him. And it actually looked like it was acidic blood, because it looked like it melted in.
Yeah, that was a pretty gruesome scene, like it.
Yeah. And it reset the time, because the mimics are apparently a hive mind.
Like some kind of...
They're a hive mind, and similar to the Zerg, that I believe you guys mentioned on the Brood episode.
Yes.
So there's the lowly tier orange mimics that are just the foot soldiers, they're cannon fodder, they do all the work. Then there's the alphas that help control them. They do micromanaging of on the battlefield and everything. And above them, there's one thing called...
Where, you know, they're doing like control groups and hotkeys and stuff like that.
Exactly. And then there's the Omega that controls the Alpha. And apparently, if an Alpha gets killed, the Omega rewinds time to the previous day.
Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end.
Exactly.
Bush did 9/11.
That proves us.
Let me guess. Illuminati confirmed?
Yes.
Okay, go on.
Anyways, so they give him all the information and everything, and then they go to a training montage where he's fucking up a lot. And it's great, because anytime he messes up the slightest, he could get a paper cut, and she just immediately shoots him.
Yeah, I love how merciless she is. Just like, he's like, no, I'm fine, just dead. No, I'm fine, dead. Oh, I tripped, dead.
It's great.
Yeah. And you think we're kidding about how many times she kills him, but that's probably the exact amount.
No, it's probably not enough.
Cage manages to continue to slip away every time during the PT session.
I wonder if he does the truck thing over and over and over again.
Probably.
And I wonder if he fails ever again. Because that's just funny, him rolling in front of a truck.
Yeah, just, ah! I love that scream. So, this is the scene where he like breaks his leg. And he's like, no, I'm dead. Okay, so we have this pretty good training montage here.
Okay, so then after a...
It's revealed that Cage had a vision, right?
Yeah.
And where he thinks the Omega is.
Which is apparently some dam in Germany.
And they have to devise a plan to get there.
And what they do is... For some reason, they don't think of just leaving before they go to the beach. They're like, we gotta go to the beach, fight this fight.
Well, it's in France.
Okay. Where is their compound located? Like the train one?
United Kingdom. Yeah, somewhere north of Narnia, south of Middle Earth.
Okay. So couldn't they still
out near London
take a helicopter, fly there? Because, I mean, just these two are going from the battle anyways.
Well, I don't know if he was up in the military, but going AWOL still.
They're still going AWOL, technically.
And, like, well, no, they're at the battlefield. They just made it further than anybody else.
Alright, so they're just being exceptional soldiers then.
Okay, so...
So they keep running the battle over and over again, and then before the battle each day, he's like, okay, we're gonna do this, and then turn right. Then we're gonna walk 10 paces and turn left.
So they have to, like, every day they get, like, another inch closer.
Yeah.
Ah! We're gonna do another jump head.
I wanna talk about that soon.
Yeah. You gotta trust me on this.
I mean, you don't wanna mention the day when he just fucks off? Gets pissed off.
Okay, so, you know, at this point in the movie, Cage is getting pretty frustrated with this repeated failure, you know. It's not like how I feel, you know, when I'm playing, like, Heroes of Leagues, and I'm the best person on the team, and that's a bad sign. And just like, I can only tank and support for you people so hard, you gotta be able to work together and think! But, so, you know, he's just getting trashed and pissed off and toxic and yelling at his teammates over Blitzhead. You know, I was in the war, and you know, that's kind of a problem, you know, those player versus player battle zones, player versus player war zones in Afghanistan, is that you got a lot of like 12-year-olds yelling at you over your headset, like just talking trash, talking about your mom, all this stuff is awful.
Okay, so the point is, he gets pissed, and he just starts wrecking the
training equipment,
and then the next time they go to the beach, both him and Rita are fucking badasses doing flips and murdering everybody.
Hold on. Sorry, Uwe. Sorry, Uwe. Somebody has their phone on in here.
It's not me. Must be you.
Oh, it's not me. I've been able to pick your phone. You know, that's the great thing about not being able to pick your phone. The current situation is that nobody can get a hold of you.
Maybe Tim left one here.
Maybe. Okay, so moving on from that. The next is to a trailer park, which is strangely reminiscent of the trailer park level in Marvel 2 or 3.
I think it was 2. I don't know.
That was 2. That was the Bellout pack.
I don't...
That was the name of the DLC pack, Bellout DLC.
We're so far behind on Call of Duties, it's irrelevant anyways.
Yeah.
So, apparently they've reached the trailer park
before. This is boggling my fucking mind. You saw the amusement park program, right? Why did they just have like amusement park shit like after... Like, not like what you see at, like, a Six Flags.
But like a Disneyland, ride.
So like a carnival, like the kind they back up and pack up into a truck and haul ass with.
Well, all those houses are mobile homes, so maybe they're a traveling circus or something. So they've apparently been there before, and they're like, he says that they try to go for one of two vehicles, and this run they decide to split. He distracts the mimics, and he tells her, go for the minivan, but detach the trailer. And apparently she forgot to detach the trailer, which I guess had a mimic in it.
Yeah.
And so he's gotta, like, blow that thing to pieces as they're driving down the highway. And, he actually kinda just punches his way through the roof of the minivan.
Okay, so they make it a good distance at this point, and, they circle around, I guess, don't they?
Yeah, that'll happen if you don't stop and fill up.
One of my favorite Seinfeld episodes is one where, Kramer is, taking a, doing a test drive of a car at a dealership.
Yeah.
And he is, like, essentially holding, like, this guy hostage, the guy who went to drive the car with him. And, like, the whole thing is, like, no, let's just see how... Let's just see how far we can go, because it, like, it gets to empty really quick, and he's like, no, let's just see how far, and the whole thing is they see how far they can go, and they make it, like, out of state, on, like, empty gas, and it, like, finally peters out, and, but, like, the whole time, that dealership guy is, like, having a nervous breakdown, like, no, it's on empty, you gotta fill it up, he's like, no, I'm gonna keep going, I'm gonna grab this one out, so that's what you ever watch any Seinfeld?
No, I was never into Seinfeld, really. So they have during the car ride.
You know, when they play it on TBS, they play it at 1.3 times speed. What kind of lunatic would watch a movie at 1.3 times speed?
They play this
they
movie
play the,
or,
no,
or
they
Seinfeld?
They play the episodes of Seinfeld at 1.3 times speed on TBS.
Why?
To fit in more commercials.
Okay, more advertising space. That makes sense.
Okay, you should watch a movie at the intended speed of 1.0. Like, you're not supposed to speed up movies. What's wrong with you? I do know a guy who he watches all his dramas, like his True Detectives, and he watches it all at like 1.4 speed.
Yeah.
And he says, like, oh, I just saved so much time. It's like, what the hell is wrong with you? What kind of lunatic does that?
Who knows?
Okay, so then they make it to a farm.
It's clearly been abandoned for a long time, and there's really nothing of value left. So there's no gas, there's no food, but apparently there's a helicopter with a full tank in the back. I don't know what kind of farmer just has a helicopter. It doesn't even look like it's a crop duster or anything. It's just a tiny little, like, two-man helicopter, and it's just sitting there. Apparently...
A very modern helicopter, not like the helicopters you've seen. I love, like, you remember Mitchell, the helicopter, and it's just like a glass bulb, like the old MASH style ones.
I love
those old helicopters. It's not like one of those. It's a, like, expensive, modern... aircraft is fucking expensive.
Yeah, so... Don't know how this farmer got a hold of it, or what it's doing here, but... Luckily for them, it is. And then... She's taking the tarp and everything off of the helicopter, and when she moves her right arm, she grimaces in pain. So they sit and he patches her up,
and he starts making her coffee.
Yeah, and he starts delaying. He's like, "Don't turn on the helicopter. Don't turn on the helicopter."
And he says, "Like, oh no, you want three sugars?" And that's when she knows. And
a great piece of filmmaking, a great bit of filmmaking, a great direction.
And she's like, she knows.
It's like, we've done this before, how many times?
And it's like, no, you never make it out. You go to that helicopter, you're dead.
Yeah, because apparently just a couple feet from the helicopter, there's a mimic buried in the ground that doesn't attack until the helicopter's turned on. So she immediately goes to the helicopter and turns it on.
And, like, immediately, like, out of the ground, out of the soil, out of the sod. Did you know in Britain... they call farmers sod busters. Did you know that?
No.
That's pretty nuts, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it weird how they're like, they speak English, but they don't speak English?
Yeah.
I mean, you are wearing that mortar shirt, so I figured you'd be pretty familiar with British culture. Yeah, so that's where it's from, Narnia, Mordor, the United Kingdom, you know, God saves the queen, all that stuff.
Yes, yes, yes. Anyways, she turns on the helicopter and gets attacked by the mimic, and it immediately crashes into the barn that Cage ran to take cover and grab a gun. And it just starts bouncing around like crazy.
And he beats the
mimic to death with an axe.
Woodcutting axe, and there is like gallons of blood. Like you would thought you was watching like the stuff for Toxic Avenger, with all the like the inside of this cockpit is just every inch covered in blood.
But she doesn't have blood on her. So is that the mimic's blood? Do they bleed red like we do?
No.
So then where did the blood come from?
Her.
There is no blood on her.
Well, it's all on the cockpit. That's where it all went.
So it rubbed off of her clothing and everything onto the helicopter.
Well, maybe it all shot out of her back. You didn't see her back.
Alright, fine.
Okay, so,
And as she's lying there dying, he gets attacked by a horde of mimics and restarts yet again.
And I gotta tell you, this damn sequence, I was getting flashbacks of, those crazy Golden Eye Source multiplayer that you have.
Yeah?
I would always get my ass kicked with them, man. Nikolai, that stupid, oh, I got the golden gun, headshot, I just pimp slap you. You say that, it pissed me off! Sorry for the outburst.
You good?
Just, he's really good at that game.
Okay. He hustled you, didn't he?
Well, I was just like, okay, just let me be your decoy, Nikolai. Just don't be the guy that shoots me. And, here we see the mimic here. The alpha's cornering him, and they want to take his blood. And he sneaks under a, like, water pipe gap and lets himself drown, right?
Yeah, because apparently they set up a trap. And he tries to shoot himself in the head, but the alpha mimic's like, nope, and just hits the gun away.
Just a tentacle monster slaps it out of his hand, and they try to devise another way to get there.
They realize that the visions are being sent by the Omega and aren't real. So apparently Mr. Crazy Scientist Guy came up with, back when he was still working at a lab before he was Mr. Crazy Scientist Guy, came up with a way to use the link between Cage or Rita. Rita at the time was the one that he was infected. I guess you could call it infected. And it can track back to the Omega. But, of course, the device is in the hands of
the General.
The asshole General from the beginning.
You may know him from the General car insurance commercials.
I don't think that's the same guy.
Well, it's like a CGI version of him, but same guy.
Okay.
Okay, so, and that's revealed to you. Yeah, we've been doing this like 5 times, you never let us have it. And eventually, they let him have it. And what happened?
A shootout. And they died. And then they did it again. And they stole a car. And, they didn't. When they steal the car, he has the device as they're doing the chase scene, and I was expecting it to go into the back of his neck.
Yeah, like in Matrix.
Yeah, because it's like, it's supposed to be like a neural link kind of thing.
It looks like the thing they use, like, tissue for allergies.
Yeah, but she's like, just jab it in your leg. And he just jabs it in his leg.
No, she jabs it in his leg.
Well, he was going to, just a little slowly.
Yeah.
And then after he finds out the, where the Omega is, a guy kind of just Hulk smashes their car.
Military police guy in one of the exosuits.
Yeah.
And we see Cage has lost a lot of blood, and he wakes up, and he can, in this moment, see he lost power. And now I'm going to point out here, this lady, you hear her talk, right?
The nurse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not her talking, that's Emily Blunt in a dub, not sub sequence. They had her add that in a production because they forgot to record lines for her. Pretty sloppy filmmaking, right?
He just forgot.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's also who's talking on the radio at the start.
Like during the news feeds and everything, or?
During the scene when he's like going down and he hears all the voices in his headset, hearing her talk. And when the car radio and the lady talking,
that's also her.
That's her, yeah.
Wow.
They were short on time.
So he wakes up in this hospital like area strapped
to a bed. In case you had any doubt that she was way more badass than him, she got out of her restraints in like 3 minutes.
Yeah,
just like killed everybody in her way.
So, and then she comes and is about to kill him. And he's like, no. They gave me blood. I've lost the power. So she sets him free. And they're like, well, what do we do now? And apparently the plan is to find the craziest soldiers they can.
J-Squad, reporting for duty.
Exactly.
Drop the hammer.
And then go and kill the Omega. But they only have, what was it, 3 hours? 3-4 hours?
Yeah.
So, time's a little short. And it's actually a good thing, really, in my opinion, that he loses the powers here. Because whenever you have time travels movies, like Back to the Future, and they're always running around in a hurry, they have time travel. Why are they in a hurry?
Well, this adds in a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
And so they group up and they escape on a stolen beetle, and in their way to the Omega, some guys are taken out. The ship is brought down. The aircraft is brought down.
What? At what point it becomes a ship that's just skipping across the water? So.
It's like, you know, Andy Griffin maybe skipping the stones across the lake.
Yep.
You know, is that his name on the show, Andy Griffin?
Yes.
Okay.
It's called Andy.
Is it what his actor was? Because I forget.
I have no idea.
You know, we live in a world where all of the American heroes, Bill Cosby, Hulk Hogan, turns out they're all bad. All horrible people. I expected the stuff about Hulk Hogan, because us in the wrestling community have always known he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I mean, he's dating, like, his daughter's friend. Like, trying to marry her, who looks just like her. And then he goes on that racist rant about how, like, you're gonna be with these N-words, and N-words. I mean, everybody's a little racist. Fucking N-words.
Wait a minute. So, he went on the rant on the sex tape with his daughter's friend that looks like his daughter, yelling about his daughter dating a black guy.
He was saying that to his daughter. Okay.
On the sex tape?
Okay. So, there's a wrestler, Bubba the Love Sponge. He has a wife, and he thought Hulk Hogan was sleeping with his wife. So he set up a camera in his house, in his room, and he just let it film for like a whole day. And his wife had Hulk Hogan there, and Hulk Hogan was either talking to Brooke on the phone or talking to the wife of Bubba the Love Sponge before they had sex, and that's when he went on the racist tirade.
Ah. Okay, so that makes it a little less weird, I guess? I don't know. Can we go back to the movie now?
Okay, yeah, so back to the movie.
So after the airship crashes, there's what, 3-4 survivors?
Yeah.
And they're trying to figure out how to get basically across London.
France. Paris.
Paris without being killed by thousands of mimics.
Yeah.
And they find another downed aircraft with its two front rotors still working. Right.
Turboprops.
And they decide to, because everything's flooded for some reason, they basically decide to use that to skim across the surface of the water using the two front turboprops. And to buy them time, two of the guys stay back and distract as many of the mimics as they can and sacrifice themselves to take down as many as they can. And what I think might be our Jagged Alliance moment of the week.
Okay, so then Rita and Cage get further in, and I have a touching moment. The Alpha, and enough time for Cage to get in the water and unload his cache of grenades, but not before hitting his face on rebar.
That was great, just seeing him jump into the water and then just smack it.
Yeah.
By the way, I did a little back of the envelope research, and that kiss right there, not in the script. Miss Blunt actually thought that it would be a good thing to do, so she just did it without telling anyone. So that's how that got in there. It works.
Yeah. So, okay, so then they blow up the Omega, and they reset one last time, but this time it's because they won. And Cage wakes up in the airport in the helicopter on the way to the parade thing.
Yep, to, I believe it was the, he wakes up before, when he was supposed to go talk to the general the first time.
Yeah.
But now it's to, I guess, declare and celebrate the ending of the war.
Yeah. Edge of Tomorrow. See you guys after the...
Introducing the Golden Bill of Rights. Only in America and only at Golden Corral. Article 1, you have the right to choose freely. Here there's over 150 premium menu items just waiting for you. You like it? You love it? We'll have some more of it. Article 2, you have the right to family happiness. Mom, you get the night off. Dad, this is not going to break the bank. And kids, you get to vote what goes on your plate. Article 3, you have the right to food made fresh. Your USDA sirloin should only be hand cut. Your vegetables should only come fresh from the farm. Well, I tell you, it looks like I'm going to need much more room on my plate.
I'm the food guy!
Article 4, you also have the right to eat out of order. You want breakfast for dinner? It's Brenner. Want dessert as an appetizer? That's Dessertitizer. And this is the U.S. of A-OK. And Article 5, you have the right to get more for less. Where else can you find a chocolate wonderfall? Only in America and only at Golden Corral. America!
I'm the food guy!
Golden Corral, the best buffet in the USA.
Talk shit, get hit. You're listening to the Insomnia Files podcast.
Welcome back, Insomniacs. Time for a loose sleep over it or forget it. We decide whether you should loose sleep over this movie or forget it. Max, you are a guest, I'll let you start.
Definitely loose sleep. It is a great movie. It's amazing that this one went under the radar like it did. It's definitely worth watching, especially if you like Groundhog Day and Starship Troopers. It's the best of both of them.
I definitely gotta say, loose sleep over this movie, I've seen it like 3 times and it's still fun. And you're not seeing anything else like it. It's a little long, so be warned about that. Time for Monica Character Spotlight. This week's Monica Character Spotlight are the heroes of J's Club. Won't you tell us about that, Max?
I don't remember everybody's names. They were only mentioned like once. But without J Squad, our main heroes would not have made it to the Omega to be able to blow it up. They're a great cast of people. They're interesting characters from what you see of them. And they go hard or go not at all.
Time for Jagged Alliance Moment of the Week. A Jagged Alliance Moment of the Week is when superior tactics are used to overpower a, or used to overcome a larger or more well-equipped force. What is this week's Jagged Alliance Moment of the Week, Max?
Okay, this entire movie could be classified as a Jagged Alliance Moment of the Week. But if I had to pick one, it's at the very end when the two members of J-Squad stay behind to distract and take out as many of the mimics as they can, allowing the other ones to, I guess, skim away in the helicopter.
That's a great Jagged Alliance moment, Max. Now time for a new segment sponsored by Rusty's Billiards, and I call it Rusty's Break. Time for Question of the Week. Last week's Question of the Week was, Max,
I believe it was, what would be the worst stripper song?
That's correct, Max. And what would you think would be the worst stripper song?
I actually have to agree with you on the one that you chose. That was pretty bad.
Tim McGraw's My Little Girl?
Yes, that was bad.
Let's hear from our listeners. The G10 The Dragon says, the Selma soundtrack. So let's play a clip of that right now.
When the war is won, we will be sure.
DarkPubsy420.
And he says it's audio heroin.
He does describe this track, next track, as audio heroin. It's Roland Limp Bizkit, the dubstep remix.
Unfortunately, let's play a clip of that.
Now I know y'all be loving this shit right here. L-I-M-P Bizkit is right here.
That is a real...
interesting?
That was something, Dark Mosey. Can't Stop Thrush says, the Kids Bop CD, so let's play a sample of that.
That move is a masterpiece, the order is one in every 100 years. But ain't no doubt I'm dancing some more.
More!
I'm afraid we'll blow the chance, the little mama game is about to change. She'll be on covers over the world.
Okay, who do you think had the worst answer?
By worst answer, do you mean which one would be worst for a stripper song?
Slash, okay, the best slash worst slash best again answer.
Can't Stop Thrush's Kids Bop CDs is pretty good because there's a lot of songs there. But Dark Bubsy was the only one to get an actual YouTube link to work in our comments. So either of those.
Way to take a stand, Senator.
Fine, G10 the Dragons.
Okay.
He gets my vote.
This week's special of the week is, inspired by Edge Tomorrow, will be the world's most depressing gift card to give someone.
World's most depressing.
Maximum did you start.
Congratulations, you have cancer?
No, it's not a like Hallmark card, a gift card.
Oh, a gift card?
Yeah.
The most depressing gift card to get would probably be one for a funeral home. How about you?
Okay, my pick would be one of those Mexican calling cards. So the idea is that you need that because you're a Mexican jail because you've been caught with drugs smuggling out of America.
Okay, yeah, that would be... they have gift cards for them?
Yeah, I can show you them. There's a lot of them. Okay. That was the most impressive gift card. That was our question of the week. Time for plugs. Anything you want to plug, Max?
No, but I would like to remind everybody that even though we're under a different banner, we are still here. We're still doing what we normally do. Nothing will change.
Okay, I got a few things I want to plug. Of course, the stream. And keep your eyes out because Jimmy and I have been working on something. Some new streaming video content. A lot of people have been asking for. So I've been working on that. And I can't feel like I'm real hush. I gotta keep my lips tight about that. And also, because I'm such a good friend, Tim has an ebook out about, what was it about? A Muslim spy who kills like corrupt American spies.
I believe so. I don't remember what the title was.
He said it was like not politically correct, so maybe check him out on Twitter, Facebook, Amazon, just look for his stuff there. His ebook. Go support him, you know, he's got that Jasper water rescue going on, maybe Google that.
Yeah, make sure to Google that.
See you guys next week. And can I take a moment to say just how awesome I am? I mean this is all here because of me. I went in and I wanna plug some real quick. I reorganized and redid the entire collection, the Insomnia Files Complete Series that is now Insomnia Files, the Criterion Collection. And there is a host tag system I implemented and did the coding by hand. So, like say that you want to find, you listen to Max this week, you'll have all four Max episodes. So you go to the Criterion Collection, and you just search, you know, Control F on the webpage. You think people can figure that out? Control F?
Yeah.
Universal Search Hotkey?
Yeah.
So you go to the page. Control F or left bracket in bracket. You don't have to write it, just like copy paste it in the thing. And then boom, just search it and just like next arrow, and boom. Find all the Max episodes and easily color code it for your convenience format, okay? And guys, I love doing this. I'm never gonna make a dime doing this because most of the money goes to Wee Bowl now.
Yeah.
You know, I was in a real bento broker and Tim left me, and so he really kind of came in and saved me and saved us. Well, I mean, I work my ass off on this shit, okay? This is a passion project for me, okay? I'm trying to save the world of cult cinema here at the same time. So, let's close out one of my favorite Turbo Negro songs. And, as always, I believe in Steven, and see you guys next week.
Insomnia Files podcast is produced by Skeletons on the Moon Productions.